from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. I'm here to I was going to say something, then I got mixed up. I was trying to think of something that captures the essence of sleep with me, and then I accidentally did it, because this is a podcast that goes off topic, gets mixed up. I forget what I'm talking about. Don't make a whole lot of sense. Sleep with Me is a bedtime story podcast for adults that always takes forever to never get started, but it's always going. Because I'm here to be your boar bud, your boar friend, like somebody you'd call in the deep dark night and say, hey, just talk to me and keep my mind off of stuff, or take my mind off of stuff. Keep me company, ramble, eventually tell me a story. I say, that's what Sleep With Me is. It does take some getting used to. That's what most regular listeners say. And structurally, what we got coming up, a lot of people like to listen to this ad-supported show linearly, so we'll have the support, then a long meandering intro separate from the support that's meant to ease you into bedtime. And then later on, we'll have a bedtime story from our episodically modular series Multiplex. And all told, I'll be here about an hour. There's 601 episodes in this free ad-supported feed ready to go. You could make playlists, listen to them in order, listen all night, whatever works for you. See how it goes. I'm so glad you're here. And I hope this show can help you out. See how it goes. Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season, and it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, buddy. This is Scoots. This is the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I'm trying to do a sped up version of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, but I just need you to pay attention if you're listening to this ad supported version of the show. Our sponsors are direct response, meaning they base their support of the show on how many listeners not just hear these commercials, but actually like listen and say, hey, oh, let me sign up for that free trial. Let me take that free test. Let me check this sponsor out. So that's why I do take the time to thank people. Susie got new insurance. You might have already heard me thank Susie, but it's really important. Susie got a new insurance, was trying to find new healthcare providers, used our ZocDoc link, used the ZocDoc app, ZocDoc.com/sleep, found all of Susie's new providers using that app and let me know about it, let the sponsor know about it. It's huge. It is huge. Like tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people will be listening right now because of Susie. They can't afford to support the show directly. So thank you, Susie. If you want to be like Susie, support a sponsor, even a free service like ZocDoc, let them know about it. Let me know about it. Use that form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And once again, thank you, Susie. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is getting the support you need. There's links to resources in the show notes. You can use those links right now, including international resources. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, not just saying things, but learning more, taking action. There's links where you could do that in the show notes or you could go out there in the world and engage the world however you want for positive change, or you could join us. Right now we're supporting the Trevor Project, the Midnight Mission, and Hand in Hand. You could join us in supporting those organizations, or you could take action in your own, wherever you want, be a part of positive change. Let me know about it, or share it on social media, how you're engaging positively with the world or your communities that you're a part of. So thank you, everybody that participates in that. And that's it. Mr. Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound.
I am the mystery bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like Banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, the most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me is sleep phones. You could get them with the $5 off. Go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones. Use Sleep With Me at checkout. And you can get those Sleep With Me branded versions with different sayings from the show. And now what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, things on your mind about the past, the present, the future, just thinking thoughts. It could be feelings, anything emotionally coming up for you related to those thoughts or feelings that are just there. It could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine. You could be going through something, getting over something, it could be traveling, you could have guests, you could work one of those extra, third shift, different shifts. Yeah, you could, whatever it is. The reason I start to go through some of this stuff is to let you know you're not alone. And I know it's strange with a podcast that's, digital or whatever, that you just download and listen to. Like, you're like, you don't know me, can't possibly. Believe me, I said, if you could count the number of times I've said in my head to someone, you don't know me, and you don't get it. So I don't presume to totally get what you're going through. But the reason I want you to know is I may know how it feels. I might not know exactly what you're going through, but there's a chance I could relate to how it feels in a tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Those are all things I've dealt with. Lately, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep has been my dreams have been waking me up, even though, I don't know, I'm back in one of those times when my dreams have decided to become hard work. And doing some rote tasks and not super restful. And then maybe you know how it feels. Even when my daughter's in the next room or I stand with my parents or my dog's in the room with me, it feels lonely and frustrating and a bunch of other things. But the thing is, even if you can't relate to what I'm saying or you're like, you know what, I'm going through something really, this is what I'm dealing with. There's enough people listening that there's someone perking up in bed right now and they have a soft smile on their face. They're doing the leaning in, if they're in bed comfortable, leaning in equivalent, because they've been through something very similar. So they know how you feel and they are glad you're here and they really hope this podcast can help you out. So that's one thing. The other thing is you deserve a good night's sleep. I feel that way. And that other person out there listening who's nodding right now, they believe you deserve a good night's sleep, a place you could rest, a place you could get the sleep you need and you deserve so your life is more manageable tomorrow. And maybe you could start getting the sleep you need on a regular basis and you could be out there flourishing. That's the hope, at least. And just see how it goes. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So that means I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. Then I'll forget what I was talking about. Then I'll double back. Then I'll get mixed up. Then I'll repeat myself. Then I'll think of something else that's distracting me. So that's pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. Creaky dulcet tones means my voice is not traditionally soothing. It's a friendly voice to some people. And the thing about this show is it's probably different than what you expected. That's what most people say. I mean, however you discovered the show, maybe someone let you know about it, or maybe you were searching bedtime stories for adults. Maybe you were trying to find something. However you discovered the show, right? You probably had some idea. Oh, I think this, I wonder what this will be like. And this is different because this is a podcast you just barely listen to. That's one thing that's different about the show. You just kind of barely, it's like an out of focus picture, like a TV on in the other room. You just kind of barely listen to it. It's background noise that you could optionally listen to. And it's also, so it's a podcast you don't really listen to. Also, I'm not here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, which is a bit different, right? I'm here to distract you from whatever's keeping you awake, to kind of tell you a story and like in a little while and go off topic and just be here present for you as your boyfriend, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boars, your boar bee, your boar bruh, your boar bestie, your BFF, your BBFF. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night, but there's no pressure to fall asleep. The show, that's why the shows are over an hour. So you don't have to worry about falling asleep. I'm going to be here. That's why there's 601 shows ready to go for you. And the thing is, there's people listening who can't sleep at all. They're either, you know, going through something or they have a kind of insomnia or they're taking a break during the day. So I'll be here to the very end to keep you company, whether you're awake or asleep, whether you're listening to me or not. So those are a couple of things to know. The other thing is like to go back, like when you first get here, you might be skeptical, you might be doubtful, you might be frustrated. Not only is the show different than what you expected, it's kind of meandering. It doesn't really get straight to the point. I'm here to ease you into bedtime, right? And all I can tell you is two things. Like most people, like they say, give it two or three tries. Those are people that like support the podcast, have listened for years and years and years. They didn't like the show when they first got here. And I guess that's a ringing endorsement in some sense. They said, well, yeah. I mean, I've talked about this before, but there's an email I get probably once a month that says, 4 years ago, I listened to your podcast. I loathed it. And, you know, somebody mentioned it or I saw it on a list somewhere. And then 2 weeks ago, this came up in my life and someone else mentioned it and I tried it again. And at first I was like, I don't know. And this is a podcast. It doesn't click. It unclicks. So you say it unclicked. And I realized, oh, this podcast really is always going nowhere. It's almost, you know, it's always never getting started. And now I listen, you know, it's helped me through this time, or I listen every night, or I listen all night long. You've had a positive impact on my life. Now, that isn't the case for everybody, right? So give it two or three tries and see how it goes. Now, if you already know you don't like me and you don't want to give it two or three tries, that's okay too. Or if you give it two or three tries and you realize, no, it didn't help, or you've been listening for a few years, you want to try something. sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou has other sleep podcasts and sleepy audio on there. So you could check it out because you still deserve a good night's sleep, whether it's, you know, hopefully something else can help you get that sleep you need. So that's the other thing. So it's a podcast you don't listen to, doesn't put you to sleep. You're really hard to like at first. You're an acquired taste. What else do we need to know? Okay, the other thing that throws people off is the structure of the show. May have already thrown you off already. Like, so I'll explain it to you. And there's ways to customize the show, but our structure is very intentional. And it's just how a lot of people listen. But you can, again, adjust and see what works for you. So most people listen to this ad-supported, feed, this podcast, linearly. Like, they just start playing it, and then I'll kind of go through the stages as they're listening linearly. And if you're looking for something without ads or something, like, with just intros or just stories, you probably already heard me talk about ways to do that. But there are ways to do that, and there's ways you could do it. You could pay, or you could do it, you know, for free. There's ways you can do that for free. But structurally, show starts out with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I say something. And that way, if you're new or a regular listener, you feel like, oh, okay, I'm welcome here. I feel seen. I feel welcomed in. Yeah, if you listen a lot, you say, oh, I'm home. Strange sleepy podcast home. So that's the greeting. Then there's support, again, because most people enjoy the ad support. They enjoy listening to it for free with the ad support. Then after that is a long, meandering intro. Now, the intro is about 15 to 20 minutes long. It's meant to ease you into bedtime, not to put you to sleep. And I've been hearing from more and more people what they do during their wind down time, because that's just what's been shown to work, having a transition time. So there's a small percentage of people that fall asleep during the intro, and some of them support the show, you know, so it's a little bit more like more conducive to that. Or there's people that listen all night long. But for most people, the intro is a time they're either in bed getting comfortable, or they're doing some, they're getting ready for bed, or they're doing some sort of other chill activity as they're easing into bedtime. And you could kind of see what works for you, right? But yeah, like do something chill to have a buffer from the day. And the intro kind of goes along with that, where I inefficiently try to explain what the podcast is and ease you into bedtime. Or you could skip ahead and start the show at 20 or 30 minutes if you think you could fall asleep. But the intro is just kind of like leading you in, you know, and winding you down. Then again, there's support between the intro and the story. And then tonight will be our story. It's an episodically modular series, meaning you can listen to it in any order. I think this is episode 5 coming up. So you could always pretend those other episodes are prequels. And it's about some friends at a mall. I think they're going to visit a couple stores and they help people out. So yeah, that'll be a nice little story. At least in bedtime, there's always more layers to it because again, some part of your brain may be listening and that helps you unwind. Or if you need a break during the day and you need to listen, like some people wake up and they start listening to the show. I'm here to take your mind off of stuff and keep you company. And yeah, then the show ends with thank yous because it's from the support of people that support the show that I'm able to do this and all the other people that work on the show. So I'm glad for that. I'm trying to think anything else. I'm just really glad you're here. I mean, I really honestly really hope this podcast can help you or you find something else that can, particularly right now. I mean, I really know what it's like. It's like I'm going through a little bit of a time where I'm not looking forward to bed because I don't know how it's going to go exactly. And like a week or two ago, I was sleeping great. So it can be baffling at times. But what I return to is the stuff I talk about in the intro. I try to have my bedtime routine. Maybe I could be a little bit more consistent about a couple things and have a way to ease into bedtime and have something to look forward to. So I don't know. I hope the show can be a part of that for you. I'm really glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by and checking this out. And I really hope we can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area, not to mention that I live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode, or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere. In my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP. And you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots here. It's time for our episodically modular series, Multiplex. And it's a series about four friends in a shopping mall together having an adventure. And they'll fill you in on everything else. One of the friends is named Wyatt, and Wyatt's also has the pleasure of narrating, or pleasure for me to listen to another narrator. That's Wyatt. And we also, what does episodically modular mean? This may be considered episode 5, but really you could listen to these in any order. And that way, you could see 1 through 4, it could be prequels. So they're episodically modular. The main character will fill you in and everything you need to know. And yes, you can just kick back, relax, and get comfortable. If you decide you want to listen to them in order, you could. And that's one of the reasons we keep over, 600, we keep 601 free episodes, ad-supported episodes. Or subscribers have access to tons of different stuff. That way you can get to pick what works for you. But try it out. If this is your first time doing something episodically modular, let's just see how it goes, if you wish. But if you wish to not, that's fine too. But you know what I wish? If I have a wish tonight, wish you may, wish you might, is have Antonio Banderas come and announce the podcaster. And find a word that I could have found a word that rhymes with might or tight, like tight would work. But his clothing, who keeps his clothing not too loose and not too tight, and please tread oh so light, because I do ask him to be incredibly quiet. Stay comfortable, Antonio, just don't move when I'm recording. But he has such a love for all you listeners and your sleep and your comfort. And he's the only person, actually, that works directly on the podcast that doesn't get compensated. He says, he just laughs. And I say, honestly, I'm uncomfortable with this arrangement. I mean, I am perfectly comfortable with it. But from, it only works. The podcast has to be sustainable. So, you have to get compensated for your work. He just laughs hysterically, almost like some part of me, he realizes something that I don't realize myself. And he says it's its own compensation. I'm doing just fine. And I say, well, the thing is, what we did do, I mean, it's a little behind the scenes. We did enter into a contract because I said, well, the thing is, if you're not compensated, then I can't create, these wonderful boundaries I need you to follow. I mean, it could, but then it's optional, right? You could just show up when you wanted. You could drive to Los Angeles and it could take you, 6 hours. It could take you 12 hours. And then you would just show up when you show up. Maybe you your clothes are too tight or too loose, so they're more noisy. He wasn't aware of it. He says, thank you for teaching me these things. I had no idea if my clothes were too tight, they would make a sound undetectable to the human ear, except when you're recording a podcast, or the swishing of my clothes being too loose, because he did try to make these adjustments. I said, it's just not working. And he said, what if my birth? And I said, no, can't have you walk around in your birth. Angels would be weeping with joy and other things if you're walking around in birthday style in my place. Not to mention the fact that not sure that, whatever, then I have to keep the place at a temperature. Yeah. So we entered into a contractual agreement where he is compensated by his joy, the joy. And is there a way to measure that joy? But it's measured in his smile. And he even says his gratitude for being able to do this, which I agree with him mostly. I'm also grateful that, he is willing to sit in his car and, nod at my, and then wait until I let him come in and then, go through all the quiet protocols. And then he says, sometimes he will point out some of the silliness. He says, I noticed your clothes are... And I say, okay, whoa. I know, I'm the host, man. I got host mentality. So, Like, yeah, he's like, this is a dated, I don't think he's a Doc Rivers. Oh, no, Doc Rivers is a coach. There was like that was a music person. He's like, I don't know, because, you know, those shows have like, there's one announcer on a show who never sits next to the host on those talk shows. I don't know, but I'm just honored to be here. I mean, you know, I'm honored to be here. To have him here, our Hollywood announcer, Mr. Antonio Banderas. This is Friends Beyond the Binaries. Ladies and gentlemen, the boys and girls, it's time to go click, click, click to the theater. It's time for Multiplex. Yeah. Wow, spectacular as always. That's Mr. Antonio Banderas, who will be now remain silent. We're going to play some Wandering Towers, and why wonder why you couldn't remain perfectly still for, we're just laughing at each other, hour, 15 minutes, more or less. But that was Mr. Antonio Banderas. This is Multiplex. Good evening, everyone. This is Wyatt here. And I'm recording these audios. I don't know how they'll be distributed, but it's to tell a tale that hasn't been told, that I feel hasn't been told before. A tale of the road to average. Three high-flying students, friends, and a fourth friend who's different than that, but an essential part of our story. We set off on an adventure that was an adventure. Is traditionally can be considered pretty adventurous, but what that adventure led us to was not exciting. It was, I hesitate to use that word, N-O-R-M-A-L, because that's not the right word, but to be people among people, to live a life where, let's see, well, what does that mean to be spectacular? What I mean is, when we entered, before we started this journey, all three of us were on separate paths, aspiring to greatness and aspiring to, an unlimited potential. And what this adventure taught us, which I don't think a lot do, is how to say, huh, what's up with that? Maybe not. You know, because it's just, even though this adventure itself might stick out. And what happened for me was that's changed recently. And I felt the need to explain it because I also took a few steps back. I had a public access television show, which a lot of people might not know, years and years ago. And it was small and it was just very niche, as you'd say now, or niche for people that liked a particular kind of movie. And it wasn't really unique. There was people doing it on television channels around the world. And we would interview people, but what caught the attention now in the digital era is that a lot of my interviews were very, felt more real and authentic. And this is kind of, I said, well, I need to explain that those weren't interviews or they weren't performances. But that led me to tell this tale about how, so what do you need to know coming into this? Well, there's three of us that were really close friends. Santos, Josie, Joe's, and myself, Wyatt. And then there was Boyd, the corncob kid. Not a friend of ours, but we were friendly with Boyd. Boyd was Boyd's character and was a character around school. And recently, we were heading towards graduation from high school, and my path forward had changed because of different things with my family and expecting to get this scholarship that would bring me on to my next phase. And for the first time, being unable to perform, really, with the interview and a part of the process, I didn't get that scholarship, and I was at a loss of how I was going to go on to the next part of my journey. And we were playing mini golf, just the three of us, to kind of relieve some of the tension and process it and imagine if this mini golf game came with a scholarship. But it did not, but it came with an interruption right at the end from Boyd, the corncob kid, who had gone through a culvert by this mini golf course to a shopping mall that had been closed for some time, but not so long that it would totally fall. It had just been slowly forgotten. People had moved on to a larger shopping mall, of all things. But this thing was not small. And Boyd said, basically trying to give you the short version, Boyd said, hey, there's Julius J. Juice Concentrate, which at the malls used to be popular. I don't know, I never had one. Orange juice, and it was an orange juice-based enjoyment drink. I guess it wasn't from fresh squeezed orange juice, it was from concentrate. And Boyd said, you know, Julius J. Juice went out of business, and mall went out of business, but this mall, the former Julius J. Juice mall store, is full of Julius J. Juice concentrates. And Boyd had a way to sell it on the bulletin boards of what you would now call the internet. And the groups, the used groups or whatever. And Boyd said, I just need some help getting it out of the mall. And we went back and forth, right? Is this a good idea? Will we get in trouble? Is this where? But Boyd, it was pretty profitable since the cost of goods was zero. And there was a lot of it. And so we went along with it. At some point, San and Josie changed their minds because the mall was blocked by a bunch of fences that seemed newer than the mall itself. And then we got in the mall and we were planning on getting the juice, but along the way we met somebody at like the world of cutlery who needed a hand finding a store item. And then we found ourselves in what we believed was what you would call now immersive theater in a room of getting out of. But on a much larger scale, like a mystery, immersive mystery theater within a mall. And we met what we thought was a character, animatronic from this adventure, who was kind of wrapped in swaddling, like is a way to, like, but an adult made from decorative, like anatomical, decorative, like things and wrappings from the phase of the past movies, a fictional phase of Egypt and adventures in Egypt, but only the non-historical version. Famous films like Mommies and stuff like that. And so we were helping this animatronic mommy gather some things and get back into the multiplex and back into their film, her film. It ended up she had been a sorceress in the film. Maybe you're familiar with it, maybe not. And then this is when things, there's something unreal about this whole thing. I mean, from the start, or now looking back, telling the tale, it's obvious, but to us it was still a slight question mark, because somehow we got the mommy back into an actual film. And the last thing I remember is that as we helped her on her quest, then the film became more of like a advertisement for breakfast cereal. And then I think we took a nap or something, because we had kind of lost track of time. And because in the mall, it's an artificial environment, particularly we were in a movie theater at this point, and we sat down, or maybe something else, but we came out of it. We had all been sleeping. And I think at this point, we had a better gauge of time, because then the short version, as we started having some, as we all woke up, we started having some pretty strong disagreements, right? What time did we is it really the morning now? Should we check in at home? We got to get out of here. Let's get something to eat. There's still there's still stuff in the snack bar. I mean, not everything, but even if what is like we were kind of shouting to the people we thought were running this thing, was this really an interactive theater performance? Now the only way I could explain it is like this is some kind of long weekend. Now the thing was, there was a popular movie at the time about that day, first day of it was called The First Day of April. No Fooling on the First Day of April, it was called. I believe the movie's been remade sometimes. And we had seen that, you know, when we had sleepovers, we watched that movie. And so that's another part of it, is that movie made us think, like, because you say Boyd or Wyatt or Josie or San, how do you not know? Well, that whole movie is based on a similar presence. We'll bring people to this place and we'll have an adventure for the whole weekend. So that's why the door was still open. And of course, the Julius J. Juice. Now, we had sent a large portion of the Julius J. Juice with the mommy because she had said she needed things of great value. But there's still more in the store. And I was kind of on the fence at this point. And San and Josie definitely wanted to go home. Boyd, the corncob kid, was pretty quiet and trying to hear everybody's sides. And we weren't getting a response to whoever may have been running this interactive attraction experience. And again, this was like was quite a bit of time ago, right? In the 80s. So it was the 90s. I don't even know anymore, but doesn't matter. So we went back and forth deciding we should just leave. We should just get out of the mall. We should, you know, and we said, well, let's get the juice first. No, let's just go. And we tried the back doors to the theater, which had been adjusted over the years because the doors, you say, hey, if you need to get out of the theater, use these doors. But what had happened, you know, is people would let their friends in through those doors to movies back when the mall was open. So they had like added these hallways on to make it so that didn't work. Those doors were not operable anymore since the mall had closed. And then again, like just back and forth. And I said, okay, well, we'll just go back to where we started. But okay, but then we got to pass Julius J. Juice. We might as well get some juice. We could still probably exit through Julius J. Juice unless I'm forgetting something. But I don't know. It was confusing. We're already confused. And then all of a sudden we heard like an alert thing go off. Once we had left the multiplex back into the mall. And this was an alert like that made us again think it had a nice calming robotic voice. And it said, that the mall was closing for the evening, even though it's not the evening, and that we had a short amount of time. All employees, are, you know, this is the new, I don't know. But unfortunately, what that meant was that, we didn't even realize this because we had never been in the mall after it was closed. Was that so the stores had their own gates, which there were some of which were open and they were going down. But there was also other gates that were going down. And as we started to move, we realized, well, one, we can't get to back to the World of Cutlery in that way. And so we were kind of like, we had left the section where the multiplex is and we'd moved into another section, but then the mall was going to shut down for the night. And so, I don't know, I guess it's so people who couldn't just hang out in there and have fun. And maybe so they didn't really have to pay anybody to walk around and keep an eye on stuff. I don't know, but, so ended up we were stuck. Believe it or not, there's movies about this too, like about how important it was to keep the mall secure after the evening. So we couldn't get back to Julius J. Juice, couldn't get back to the World of Cutlery. Now we were really irritated with one another, shaking the gates. We're now in a section of the mall we hadn't been in before, or we had just passed through, you know, between whatever. The layout doesn't super important, but, and, you know, like, all of the pits in our stomachs were not feeling good. And whatever, we're going back and forth. And then we tried a couple of stores and we said, okay, well, we'll try. Once we calmed down, it became like just, okay, we'll keep trying gates. And then as we were trying gates, you know, then we were wondering if we were hearing things because the gates are making noise. And finally, before we even got to the gate, we could see that the, the gate to Spence's gifts, giving you gifts. It's an interesting story. Everybody that worked there was known as Spence. Everybody that worked there had a name tag that said they were Spence. It was kind of like, in some sense, this store also was no longer operating. And this store was marketed to us. We'll cover more. But everybody I worked with was known as Spence. And they would even say, hey, Spence. Yo, Spence, do you know where you do we have? We have any of those ashtrays in stock, Spence? Oh, yeah, over there, Spence. So that's why I was known as Spence's Gifts. Like you were going to Spence's to buy gifts that Spence had. You weren't gifted anything. I think there was a Spence's gift club, but so the gate was open to Spence's halfway. We said, okay, there we go. It must have broke or something. And we had a laugh. Now, Spence's was a place we spent a lot of time, especially it was a lure and marketing towards people that liked I don't know. It's different stuff for people. Like we hadn't reached this stage yet, believe it or not, where it was 420 somewhere. But if you liked posters, cars, glow in the dark things, interesting, goofy things, they used to have. This is funny to me now. Like you could buy over the hill toilet paper for somebody. When their birthday reached, I mean, maybe 50, I don't even know, which is hilarious to me at this point. Just things like unique gifts that were like a little bit of a novelty. I think that's what they would call it, novelties, gifts, and more. But we would go there for the posters and the goofy stuff. And of course, there was posters that were more that would make us blush and sweat. But there was also we'll get there, because when you go into the store, there was there's two back sections, right? A back section that was for posters and other items that you were supposed to be like an adult to go into that section. That was behind one set of velvet curtains. Then there was another set of velvet curtains before that, and there was a person usually there to say, whoa, whoa, kids. And we would try to sneak by them or stuff in high school. I'll admit it. We were curious. And I'll tell you what, our curiosity was more interesting than what we found, because it was all pretty not that interesting. I mean, I guess, but anyway, the section before that, there used to be these posters that were incredibly popular. And they would be combined with glow-in-the-dark and black lights and other items like lava lamps and things. So this section was the black light section. So it was the second to the last section of the store. And it had posters for metal bands and other things, psychedelic type stuff, all in black light. And then there was the rest of the store, the front half of the store and the checkout and everything like that. So why is that important? Well, because we went into the store. And so when you looked in the store, so there's no, you know, there's less light in the mall because it's not open. And the store lights were out. And so we went into the front half of the store under the gate, right? And our plan was to go to the back of the store and go out the door. And I'm thinking that Spence's door, can't remember now, but I think our thought was that Spence's door probably opened right to the outside and not to an interior hallway. And that we'd just go out the door because it was on the same side of the mall as Julius J. Juice, not in the same section, but facing the same direction. It has been some time, and I'm just recollecting. So, but then there's just this natural inclination that we as soon as we went through the first set of black velvet curtains, you could see nothing. And even kind of holding the curtains open, which we tried to do while one person made it to the other side, like, it wasn't possible, right? I don't know. And it was also kind of cool because we kind of forget, when you're in darkness with friends, I don't know. This just sticks out to me because this is what happened. But whatever, we tried everything we could do. And again, like what our original plan was, to like to hold one person, hold the first set of black velvet curtains open. Somebody gets to the second set, holds those open. Then somebody goes to the third set and finds the back storeroom in the store and holds those open. And then somebody goes all the way through. But then the first person, I think we tried to do that, right? But then it was like the back of the store, there was no light. Then the first person, like, let go of the first curtain, and then it was total. Then all of us were cloaked in total darkness, right? Then we kind of did it like a Marco Polo thing, and we were trying to find our way to each other. And Boyd had held the first curtain open. And Boyd kind of has a boy. You know, when you say a name like Boyd, the corncob kid, they've got a voice that has some resonance. And Boyd was not an authority figure, but because Boyd was just a very unique person, they had a sense of self that maybe the rest of us didn't have wandering around in the darkness. So Boyd was calling us over. We're bumping into stuff, we're going into stuff. Thinking about this in reverse, we should have gone to the back of the store. But again, it was pitch dark. And we're like, Boyd, but whatever. So we're trying to find one another. And at first, it was kind of not the greatest experience, right? You don't know where you are. You're bumping into stuff. We're already heightened in our senses. Then we start finding each other. First, that's a surprise. And then, of course, we had one more surprise, which was we found each other. Then we were trying to, then somebody said, what's that like, and of course we see a pair glow in the dark, comedy. Like, oh, this is another thing they sold there. What do they say? Like the stuff, not magic tricks, but the other stuff like smelly powder. And this was one, it was the googly eyes, detective kit, I think they would call it. And I think Pee Wee Herman even had a pair of these, and maybe it even was in a Pee Wee Herman movie, but we saw those, right? And we said, my word, that's we're all in the darkness, frozen. And then we heard, as we were kind of like all four of us unable to process ourselves, we heard like something. I don't know if this is what they said, but this person said, welcome to Spence's, my dudes. I don't know if they used my dudes at Spence's, but it was something like that, you know, whatever the parlance was of the time. And again, we were, we could have been like petrified wood. And the person said, what can I help you with? You shouldn't be, by the way, you shouldn't be crawling around. And it, like they went off script right away. Shouldn't be crawling around here. And then they lit a lighter. And again, none of us, this was not calming for any of us. Until we saw them, in the, even with the lighter, and they were the most Spence of Spences, even as even in the light of a lighter, I guess, it, like, they had long hair. And by the way, it was, you know, Spence is like, it could be used for any gender identity, but this was like a metalhead dude, right? He was saying my dudes. So he had long hair. He was in his 20s. It seemed like he was in his 40s to us, but I would probably, he was probably in his 20s. He had on his Spence vest with his name. Hello, my name's Spence. And, but he said, come on to the front of the store, follow me, like, with his lighter, which eventually went out, and then he had to turn back on. He said, well, that's, well, that was warm. We got to the front of the store when it was lit, and he was even, he was as Spence as advertised. Like, we were already, and he was calm and cool and dominant for us. So we suddenly felt like, okay. And it, or another line of thinking in my brain, at least, was if this is an actor. He's this godlike actor as a part of this performance we found ourselves in. And he had this calm, warm look on his face of concern and caring. And I knew we were going to be okay. But it was mostly like, and I mean, this is strange, but gallons of metal testosterone, like the great JJ, you may have heard about, the legendary drummer JJ. Now, he had this Spence had a shirt on, but he said, put your hands up, which we were like, what? But we all did. He said, okay, good, good, good. I was afraid you might've got some of the, broken bulbs on your hands. And he said, look, brush off your pants and stuff. Cause we had been crawling around a bit too. And some of us had little bits of broken fluorescent bulb, on our jeans and pants, and the bottoms of our shoes. And then he kind of did a bit, oh boy, well, man. And then for a little while it was a back and forth, that I'm not sure about, because right away, it started with saying, he said, we don't want this performance. We just want to leave. We got to check in with our folks. We just found ourselves in the mall. We're sorry that we got involved in your performance and this theater, but we're ready to leave, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then Josie started in, and I guess I felt the need to kind of, like, also see, like, to be the polite one. And, the Spence just stood there looking at us, like, okay, okay. And then Spence, held up his hands, and said, I have no idea what you're talking about, dudes, and again, this is just my reinterpretation of it many, many years later. And we're like, no. Like, we don't, like, what is there, like, an exit word? We don't want to be a part of this mystery anymore. Please, you can break character or whatever. And Spence said, I'm not a character, man. I'm at work, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad because I need your help. And we went back and forth with this, right? And again, you do have to understand that there was something, maybe it was gravitas or some sort of more evolution-based thing, that this was this male figure who was not any of our fathers, who was distilled maleness, that we only felt we could push things so far, but also that he wasn't pushing back or anything, that he had such a presence that he said, no, this is like, so it was intractable in some sense. And he said, I need your help. And then we even said, hold on. And I was like, and then Boyd said, let's just see how this goes. Sand said, well, we need your help too. And then Spence clapped his hands and said, perfect, my dudes. Like, we'll work this out together. And they said, Spence said, like, okay, well, like, what do you need help with, buddy? I think at this point it became little buddy, to at least Sand, to kind of say, well, just try to relax. And said, so we got to get out of here. And Spence said, oh, okay. I think there was a phrase back then, and maybe it wasn't on the get down or the down low or something, but it was like, oh, okay, man, like, I get it. You need to get out the back, huh? And Sand said, yeah, no, we need to get out of the back right now, though. And he said, okay, I got the keys to the back. And again, if it was a different situation, like, there was no sense of where we were going to emotionally overpower or sway Spence, even though we wanted to, right? Sand said, well, we just want to leave now, though. Can you just give us the keys now? You have the keys. And then Spence kind of just said, you seen, man, can't even barely get through there. Couldn't see the door if we needed it. And he said, you have a lighter. Spence said, man, I just need your help. Just take a few minutes. And we eventually we were worn down to be listened and reasonable by Spence's calmness and openness and dominance. And so we said, okay. And Spence said, yeah, okay, man. Like, all you need to do is go down to the Tiki Transistor Hut, which sold a lot more than Tiki Transistor. It was a Tiki-themed hut for radios at one point. It was a store, though. It was Tiki, you know, Tiki style. But it sold all sorts of different stuff at this point. And in some sense, it was a complimentary shop it was more for electronics, but he said, you know, somebody came in here and busted up all the black lights. And I can't be working and let, you know, the poster room's pitch dark, man. And then the, you know, the after dark room is, you know, too dark too. So I need you to go down to Tiki Transistor Hut, and see if they do have black lights, and they have two black lights and other kind of black lights. So I need you to go down there and get some and bring them back. And we were and he said, just keep a count and we'll invoice them. Don't worry. We're owned by the same parent company. So it's fine. And I even have the key to the gate. So, you can go in there and we're not taking anything. We're going to, you know, you keep track, and I'll write up an invoice and we'll make sure they get paid. Nothing, you know, there's nothing strange about it. But Spence needs the posters to be on display. And again, it was a little bit tiring going back and forth again, but Spence was just so reasonable and made us feel unreasonable. He said, go ahead, man, here's the key. Off my keychain, got the key to the back door. Once you get those lights, you can hit the road. And, so then we had, eventually we gave in and we went under the gate at the front of Spence's and we headed out. And again, it was in the same section of the mall, across the way and down. So a little bit of ways, a couple of, you know, planters and things in the way. So a little bit of a walk. We head to the Tiki Transistor Hut. And of course, as with the last tale, before we got there, we heard something. And that's when, again, we said, okay, this theater doesn't make sense except with the model we have of the No Fooling on the April 1st movie, that we're in this, you know, without an option. So, okay, so we go down there. And the person, the voice was like somewhat not intimidating. It was someone saying, I need some customer service here. I need some customer service, which was weird because the gate was down. But again, we said, okay, well, this is a task. We've all played, I mean, my friends and I, we played role-playing games. We played video games. Maybe this was the last quest to get out of there. So we opened the gate to the Transistor Tiki Hut. And this didn't have any back room or anything. It was open shop, and we saw around the corner. Now, we weren't totally surprised, but we were. But this was not an animatronic, but a person dressed up in a very elaborate costume that was made to be an amalgamation of people put together and, you know, that we've seen in films with, you know, like the original was made by Victor. And but there's been, you know, there's been Mel Brooks has done it and of Frankie's, right? But this was a female Frankie asking for customer service at the Transistor Tiki Hut. But and again, you might say, what we, but it was like we were immersed in something we were trying to get out of at this point. So we did, our disbelief was in a different place. It was a very impressive costume. And as soon as we opened the gate, he said, about time. Like, do you, which one of you works here? All of you? And this is when I thought everybody was kind of on the same page. Because Boyd said, oh, we'll be right with you. We just got to get everything set up. And then Boyd, who I thought was in it to win, like, was I'd kind of given into the thing of like, okay, let's just complete this quest. Spence will let us out. And then there'll be, we'll be able to leave, or maybe there'll be, I don't know. I was just following the track laid out for us. And I thought everybody was, but then Boyd said, one second, I'll be right with you. And Boyd said, okay, like, we can always check the door here too and see if we could just get out here. Now that we're in the store, we could see if this key works. So you distract them. And I'll go, give me the key. I'll go get the door. I'll see if this works on the door. Cause this was a more traditional store. So it had a back area where only the employees would go behind the counter to get stock or to come and go and check in for work. And so then we went up to this person, Franny's her name, which we found out. And we said, actually, it was Josie said, welcome to Transistor Tiki Hut. How can I help you? Because we forgot that Josie used to work at Transistor Tiki Hut. Any tiki-licious transistors or we can turn you on to? And you have to do this. Again, these were these themed stores. And you do like this hang 10 sign. Very cringy, I guess, at this point. And if you were in high school, people would go and watch you do it and make fun of you. For some reason, being at Spence's was cool, but working at Transistor Tiki Hut was more for people to stand outside and laugh when you had to participate. But pretending your name was Spence was something to be idolized. But again, Spence's wouldn't hire high school students. Maybe that's it. So this person said, well, I'm Franny, and I need to get this stuff up and working. And we noticed that Franny had some broken glass, so not that it was a mystery. Like imprinted on their, like they had been crawling around in broken black lights. And of course Santos said, so Franny was around the section that had other black lights and other novelty lights, plasma lights, lava lamps, glitter lamps. And Franny knew what they were. And we said, well, what can we help you with? And then it was a long story. I think I can just give you the highlights because it fits the larger picture. This was Franny, right? Like Frankie, Franny explained to us that she was the amalgamation of ultimate companions of the world. Not that kind of companion. She looked at me and said, you know, famous people, blah, blah, blah. And I've been like taught to be, you know, the ultimate, but no one wants me as their ultimate companion. Like, you know, I'm versed in conversation, games, blah, blah, blah. And we didn't really know how to breach the subject because they said, well, you know, you're maybe, but you're a physical amalgamation of companions or figures. And she even said, like, you know, this you know, check out my forearm. It's, I can't even remember, like, whatever, some famous talk or something. Let's just say, this is Samuel Clemens. This is, and we said, yeah, but Samuel Clemens has gone on to the big farm and left that forearm, you know, to become a part of, you know, return to the circle of life. And so that is already in the process of returning to the circle of life, and it's kind of off-putting. And I prefer not to be in the vicinity of it. That's really cool. I don't know. What do they do that with latex or what? So we did try to say stuff like that. And Franny was using terms like wretched and whatever. And we said, okay, well, Boyd came back at some point and said, the key doesn't work. But if I can get some help, whispered this to us, obviously, like, I can find something, and Sam, you come with me, and we'll get the door open, we'll work the door open, but you keep working here, you know, buy us time, or work it out. So again, we went through this, it was just Josie and I and Franny. And we said, okay, well, what do you need help with? Like, pretend, it wasn't pretend for Josie. So, okay, well, what do you need? Because there was also, on the boxes, there's pictures of all this stuff. And Franny said, this is exactly the stuff I need. I tried to get it in the other room, and I need to get this stuff. I need to get it back to where the Maiden of Iron is. And that took us a while to figure out. But we said, oh, it's the posters. There's a famous character on the posters of the Maiden of Iron. And she was a powerful figure. Also, more similar to an anatomical being for, you know, like decorative purposes. So we said, okay, wait a second. So, and this is mostly Josie using Tiki Hut training to say, okay, so you need these. You know, Franny's pointing at the plasma balls and the plasma tubes and the black lights and the electric lava lamp, like this circle that looks like lightning. Okay, so you need this stuff, and you needed it to transistor to Tiki Hut. Okay, but for what again? Well, I need to become the Maiden of Iron. And we said, well, why? And I said, well, then people will like me. And again, this was something we could relate to. Mistakenly, we were relating, saying, oh, yeah, that's like one of the reasons we go to Spence's is like to be, because we, part of us wants to be like one of the Spence's, particularly this Spence we had just been in the presence of. We could barely overcome, we couldn't overpower that Spence even with argument. Like, who doesn't want to be a Spence? So we said, okay, so you just need us to bring you back there. I'm going to become the Maiden of Iron. This is what Franny was saying. And then I'm going to return. And we said to the multiplex, and she said, what? No, France. And we said, okay, but, like through the multi, like in a, you're going to get back to France through a room with chairs and carpet. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's where I came in. Then I was lost. Then I saw the Maiden of Iron, and I knew, like, it came back here to renew my purpose. I got to go back. I need people to realize that I'm the ultimate. And obviously, there's this whole shrine to the Maiden of Iron. She must be adored, and I need to be adored. That's my purpose as the ultimate companion, constructed and amalgamated. Now, there was a little bit of thing here that we had read this book. And we had all even written joke poetry, either in journals as Victor or about Victor, or what would it be like to be Victor's friend. And none of it was very nice to Victor. And even Franny's state made us say, what's up with this Victor dude? So that was always in our minds, because that was a year earlier. We had read that book in school. like, but it was Frankie and Victor, My Story by Victor. Like, that was a book, right? So we had written Frankie's story. So we were kind of like, yeah, you didn't ask for this, huh? Like, so we'll help you. Okay, then Boyd and San came back and said, we got the door, let's go. And this was when we were already kind of get, like, Josie was already in work mode, right? So Josie was already helping gather everything we would need, like kind of going through everything and getting like as many black lights as we would need. And even like film, like keeping track, to be honest. And I was kind of like, okay, well, we could just complete this quest though. And they're like, no, we can leave now. We got a door open to the back hallway. Let's go. And I was a little bit torn, and Josie was not. Josie said, okay, like, let me just put everything together and finish writing this up, and then they'll figure it out. You'll figure it out, right, Franny? Franny said, well, I need to get all this work. I'll need you. And we said, okay, well, don't worry. We'll help you, like, as Josie said that. And I was still unsure, and then Boyd said, don't worry. He goes, if you really want to stop at Julius J. Juice, like we could come back or we could get the juice or we'll figure out something else, but let's just go now and get out of here and forget Franny, forget Spence. I mean, which I kind of felt bad about, right? Because we had always been taught, to strive to be our best. And this was a situation where we're supposed to, even though it was like, okay, if we're playing a game, we're supposed to play the game to win and complete the quest, even if we don't like it anymore. If we're saying we're going to help Spence, we've made an obligation. We should help Spence. Now we're saying we're helping Franny. We made an obligation. You stick to your obligations. You're obliged to be, you're obligated to be obliged or something. And I was taught through nature and nurture these lessons, you know, nature by my sister, nurture by my parents. But then I could see that San and Josie, like through their family, you know, and Boyd in another way, but it was like, sometimes you gotta let those things go, right? And get out, like, it's time to go. And I got caught up in that and I said, okay, let's go. And then Franny said, well, where are you going? I said, oh, I lied directly to Franny. I said, we'll be right back. We're just going to go on back and check stuff. And even Josie said, okay, everything's right there that you need. And then we're going to bring it to Spence's, like, or you could bring it to Spence's, get a head start. And then we went out through the employee into the stock room and the break room and out into the service hallway, leaving Franny and heading out. I wouldn't be telling you this if it was the end of the story, but it might be the end because we went down. And of course, we had forgotten about that alert that had gone, and that, yeah, we got to a set of doors, and those doors were in the hallway in both directions. The doors that kind of like compartmentalized the building were closed and not going to be opened by even 14s. Like, I think they involved, you know, magnets and stuff like that. And so we all just sat there kind of defeated. And that's a good time. We took a little break because I was embarrassed. I said, like, what are we going to do now? Even though a few minutes had passed, it was like we'd already done something wrong. But now looking back at us, we were just kids doing the best we could. We'll see what happens next. We'll be back pretty soon here. This is your friend Wyatt saying goodnight. All right, this is Drew. I just want to thank everybody that signed up or moved over to Sleep With Me Plus recently. Rachel, John, and Karen. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Eve, Paul, and James. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Desiree, Christian, and Indigo. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Lynn, Marty, and Michael. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Judy, Daniel, and Jared. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Andy, Jason, and Betsy. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Mark, Astrid, and Morgan. Thank you. Thanks. And good night, PJ, Rosemary, and Kate. Thank you. Thanks. And good night, Tyler, Ian, and Craig. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. And William and Christina. Thanks. And good night. Thanks, everybody. I couldn't do it without all of you. I really appreciate the support. And people that support the show directly, support the show through the referral program, or support the sponsors is really how we're able to be here for you for free a couple times a week. And I really appreciate it because I couldn't do it without all of you. And a free way to support the show is try out a free trial from a sponsor or join the referral program. Get rewarded for something you already do. And here's Scoots either kind of giving you weeks in review or a tuck you in sponsor. Thanks and good night. All right, but this is Scooter. This is weeks in review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. So that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On. which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabolik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabolik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.